Radio's coverage of AusCert's 2008 conference is sponsored by Microsoft. Visit itradio.com.au/AusCert08 for IT Radio's full coverage of this year's event and to hear Microsoft's AusCert presentations. Or go to itradio.com.au/security for the Risky Business podcast, honing your eardrums since February 2007.
Hello and welcome to this special AusCert edition of Risky Business here on itradio.com.au. I'm Patrick Gray. Here we're speaking with database security legend David Litchfield from NGS Software Security. We caught up with Litchfield at the last AusCert conference as well. And when we interviewed him back in 2007, he told us about his plans to launch FEDS, the Forensic Examiner's Database Scalpel. Well, FEDS has come a long way, and Litchfield says it should be released within the next few months. So here we talk about FEDS in this interview, and also talk about lateral SQL injection, a vulnerability class he recently unveiled. I also spoke to David about the recent spate of SQL injection attacks that have compromised 500,000 Microsoft SQL hosts. Enjoy. So, Dave, we actually spoke at AusCert last year about FEDS. I mean, FEDS was just an idea then, and you've just finished your presentation on it. In a nutshell, what is FEDS?
FEDS is the Forensic Examiner's Database Scalpel. It's a breach investigation tool that allows someone to expedite the forensic analysis of, you know, a breach, basically, especially those relating to database servers and, you know, web servers. However, because the principles, you know, that, you know, the tool is based upon actually apply to all breach investigations, you know, whether it be a domain controller or a file server, whatever, the tool is no longer called FEDS, because obviously FEDS has database in the name and so on.
So it's now
the Quizzix.
Quizzix. Does that stand for anything?
Yep. Well, it comes from the Latin for who, quiz. In other words, who did it, you know?
Yeah, so, this is a free tool too, isn't it?
That's why
it's not out yet, because you've been doing your paid work instead of
exactly.
writing this thing.
That said, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of work that's had to go into this kind of thing. So, for example, internally, what happens is when you get an evidence file, it's processed to break it down into a common format so that can be correlated against other kind of evidence files and so on. Now, the success of this tool hinges on the number of processes that are actually shipped with the final product, basically. So there's processes for like UTEMP files, WTEMP files, Windows event log files, Oracle data files, redo log files, Apache, IIS, checkpoint firewall one, basically anything and everything that could be on your network, I've written processes and filters for. So that's what's been taking the time. Because obviously if it, say, does one thing, you know, people are going to be, well, that's useful in how many occasions?
That blue moon.
Exactly.
That particular really rare shade of blue.
Exactly.
You know, by the way, Dave, is there anywhere that people can read a little bit about this thing and, you know, the work that you've done on it?
Well, right now, this is the biggest public release of information about FEDS since, you know, we spoke about it last time kind of thing. So obviously the slides will be available from, I guess they'll be available from the AusCert site kind of thing.
You were pretty much saying last time that you'd given up on, you know, trying to fix the Oracle database by patching it, by finding bugs and notifying them, because it seemed to be a pretty fertile source of O-Day. Are you still doing bug research? Because you're quite well known for finding copious amounts of awful remote O-Days in their database.
Well, yeah, I'm still doing a lot of vulnerability research. Just going back very, very quickly, I don't think I said I didn't see any point in, you know, getting Oracle to fix their stuff. What I said was they're on the road to recovery, and me beating them with a stick every day was not necessarily, you know, useful anymore kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I sort of, you know, took a wee
step. So it wasn't
back.
Like pointless, why try? It was more like, okay, time to move on to something else.
Exactly.
Okay, no, fair enough.
But
fair
that said, I'm more these days looking for new classes of vulnerabilities, as opposed to here's an instance of a vulnerability. Mm. What can we do to, you know, what can I find that, if we can fix it at one point, you know, removes 100 vulnerabilities.
Trying to find things like what Mark Dowd found in Flash.
Exactly. So I just did a paper on lateral SQL injection, basically, which is
how to exploit a SQL box sideways?
Absolutely. And essentially what you do is you manipulate the environment in such a way that the date and time is reflected in an attack, essentially. So if someone calls, say, the sysdate function in Oracle, then we can, and that is embedded within a SQL query and executed, it, you know, allows us to gain control. Now, the problem is, because, you know, no user parameters are taken, people often say, well, we don't need to use bind variables here. Bind variables are essentially a sort of placeholder where users' data can go, and so if you use bind variables, you're invulnerable to SQL injection. But given that, you know, people look at it and say, well, no user can influence this query because we're just calling the sysdate function, they don't use bind variables. And so typically we can now exploit that, whereas previously we thought it was not possible to do so. And the other side of this is numeric and data types. Again, people have thought, no, it's impossible to do SQL injection with these data types. Mm-hmm. I've proved a way that you can now do SQL injection with it.
And so, what are you doing with that info? Have you released it?
Yep, I published a paper about a month ago.
Okay. And people can get that from where? NGSSoftware.com?
Yep, and www.databasesecurity.com.
Oh, catchy.
Which is just a host I run in my spare time. Sorry, not a host. A site I run in my spare time, basically pertaining to everything related to database security.
Are you guys NGS these days? I mean, what sort of solutions are you offering?
Well, we always offer a solution, obviously, if there is a problem. However, most of our work these days is we do a lot of government-related work, do a lot of work for vendors before they ship a product to make sure that when the product, you know, is sent live kind of thing, that it's got as few flaws in it as possible and is robust and capable of withstanding attack.
It's interesting that we're talking about SQL now because, you know, we saw 500,000 SQL boxes get hosed, and it wasn't that there was an actual flaw in the database. It was that, you know, there's so many injection bugs and application, you know, web application bugs out there. I mean, this must be a whole new level of party time for you guys.
Well, to be honest, it's quite distressing that, you know, for years and years and years and years, we've been saying to people, you've got to fix this, you've got to fix this. And only now, in these mass compromises kind of thing, are people beginning to take notice and stuff.
But I mean, traditionally, you've always focused at the database software itself, but now it seems to be the applications that customers are deploying.
That's not correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2000, I wrote a paper on web application disassembly with ODBC error messages, which was one of the first papers on SQL injection.
And forgive me for my poor research, David.
No worries, I forgive you. And then Chris Anley, one of my colleagues, wrote Advanced SQL Injection and his second paper, More Advanced SQL Injection, which is, those two papers are, you know, any other thing that, you know, mentions SQL Injection typically, like, links to Chris's paper on it.
Are you saying you rule?
We rule.
Yeah, that's it. All right, so we got lateral injection. We've got all 6 million different types of injection. It seems to be the most popular sort of attack vector out there at the moment. SQL injection is just massive, isn't it?
It is, and it has been forever. So
yeah, you know. But you don't think it's really increased lately?
Well, the numbers of attacks certainly have increased, but I don't think the numbers of vulnerable applications has increased. In fact, what we've seen over the past few years is where, in about 2001, 2002, you would probably see 8 to 9 out of 10 applications vulnerable to SQL injection. These days, you're probably seeing a 5 to 6 kind of thing. So there is definitely a reduction in numbers of, you know, vulnerable systems out there, vulnerable web apps, but it's not zero, and that's obviously what we'd like to see it be one day. And these, the fact that these mass breaches are taking place in... I have to say, in the short term, whilst there's a lot of pain, long term, there's going to be a lot of gain because people are going to fix their applications. That's going to stop, you know, breaches down the line. So
are you working on any other nasty surprises in terms of new classes of vulnerabilities affecting databases or systems running database software?
I am, but I'm still hunting for new classes and stuff, but I've got a couple of ideas up my sleeve, but nothing I want to air just quite yet.
You know? Excellent. So something you're just using to torment your friends who are admitting boxes? Or?
No, just something that drives, you know, I enjoy researching these kind of things. So
okay, so I guess we're going to keep an eye out for some of that research, but in the meantime, David Litchfield, thank you very much.
Thanks
for speaking to us on Risky Business again.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right,
see you next year.
Yeah.